I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. We'll break this and use it as the basis for our teaching this morning. And here's the way it reads for those of you who have King James Version and didn't know if I start to read it. Chapter 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. I'd like to talk this morning about qualities essential to an effective prayer life. I want to be effective in my praying, don't you? The only written request for teaching on prayer asked by the disciples of Jesus was, Lord, teach us to pray. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 11. George Washington Carver was the son of slaves who was set free by the American Civil War. He struggled to finally get a master's degree in botany. He received an appointment to a black college in Tuskegee, Alabama. He became famous for his hundreds of inventions and agricultural development. His secret of success I've adopted as my motto. He said we should pray as if all depends upon God and work as if all depends upon us. It's impossible to calculate the benefit of prayer such as that. It is extremely important, therefore, that we study and apply the qualities essential to an effective prayer life. I propose that we examine four qualities, these qualities, and apply them to our lives daily, not once in a while, but daily. The first quality is regularity. Verse 8, look at it, the first piece of it says, pray everywhere. Pray everywhere. Psalms chapter 5 verse 7, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Psalms chapter 119 verse 104, seven times a day I will praise you. The way the psalmist had in mind was upon awakening, that's the first one, secondly at breakfast, thirdly at noon, fourthly at mid-afternoon, fifthly at supper, or dinner, how high and mighty we say supper, right? Are you out there? What about that, Kenny? At 4 at mid-afternoon, 5 at supper or dinner, 6 upon a time, and 7 at midnight. Those 7 times the psalmist said we should pray. Also we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 that we should pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The second quality essential to an effective prayer life is holiness. Verse 8, the second piece of that, says lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands. James chapter 5 verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. And again, if I commit sin in my heart, he will not hear me. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm glad you came to start the Jonah symbol. I tell you, it's humbling to have an uncle younger than you are. With that same situation. Holiness or sanctification is one of the more prominent doctrines in the Scripture. And it's one of the 16 fundamentals of the Assemblies of God and other evangelical and Pentecostal denominations. The third quality is love. Look at the third piece of our text, verse 8c, without wrath. That points to love. A good way to test whether our lives are characterized by love without wrath is to read the love chapter, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, by substituting the first person singular pronoun I or me or my and so forth for the word love in verse 4 through 8. Now here's where we need to have you join in the reading in the NIV. Read loud, please. What about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8? Can you read that for me? Thank you very much. We can see that the NIV makes that love section a little bit plainer to our human ears. Our fourth and final quality essential to an effective prayer life is faith. Verse 8, part D, says without doubting. We're shown in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, the benefits of faith and truth enable us to pray for, number one, all men, verse 1, number two, for kings, verse 2, number three, for all who are in authority, verse 2. And all who are in faith and truth are essential to the process, which according to verse 1 involves supplication, verse 2, prayer, 3 is intercession, and 4, giving of thanks. missionaries who have been appointed to Guatemala had a service in Victoria, Texas, not far from here. How many of you have been to Victoria? Missionaries had been appointed to Guatemala and had a service in Victoria, Texas, en route to their field. When they arrived at the border, they were refused entrance. For 21 days, the missionary went to customs but was refused entrance each time. The official saying, "We don't want missionaries in our country." The missionary was going back on the 21st day before giving up and choosing another country. At precisely the same time that the missionary had first approached the border, the Lord awakened early in the morning a man named Louis Ritter, who had been in the service in Victoria. Early in the morning, for 21 days, Louis Ritter awakened to intercede in prayer. He did not know for what he was praying, but he prayed faithfully in the Spirit with groanings which cannot be uttered. On the 21st day, he felt the burden lift. He felt that he'd won the victory, but he still did not know for what he had been praying. On that day, the missionary went back to customs for the last time. The official took his passport into the back room, stamped them, filled out the visas, and returned them to the missionary without any explanation as to why they had changed their mind. Hallelujah. Of course, we know that God had arranged it through the intercessory prayer of that man, Ritter, in Victoria, Texas. These missionaries were John Franklin and his wife, who had a long and successful mission career in Guatemala. In fact, my district, North Texas District, and the South Texas District, bought a large boat for Brother Franklin through Speed the Light Fund. They bought that large boat that he could live in, and he cruised around the great big lake there in Guatemala and would go ashore and have services and get back in his boat living quarters and go around a little further around that massive lake. And he did that because of what Speed the Light was able to do, was help him do it. Aren't you grateful for that auxiliary work of our young people? Surely it's as a consequence of intercessory prayer that the Iron Curtain of communism has crumbled in Eastern Europe. Surely it is as a consequence of many decades of intercessory prayer that millions have come to know the Lord behind the bamboo curtain in China. Surely it will be as a consequence of much intercessory prayer if a humanism curtain of democratic nations are to give way to the gospel. Lord, teach us to pray. And I know of no one who needs to be taught this lesson than the socialist president that we have called Obama. Were you about to say amen? Now, I'm not being political, I'm being biblical. Huh? If the humanism curtain of democratic nations ought to give way to the gospel. We must pray, Lord, teach us to pray. I wonder if you might have some prayer requests this morning to share with us as we come on toward the conclusion of these words. How many prayer requests do you have? Yes, ma'am. Love, please.
Dad, please
worry. Who will take him on your heart to pray for you? All right, we've got two or three things. Who else has prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Come. Tammy, who? You know, I've got a niece that I don't know.
Is
Joy's
daughter down
to Tammy?
Joy's daughter.
Where's she live? That's where Joy is. All right, who will pray? You'll pray for the next one. Going to be praying this morning for them, and who is going with our brother? Yes, thank you. Other prayer request? The trip is true. Oh, yes. You remember the commander in chief of the great trip. I love to pray for these two. There are very few families in America right now who have escaped one war or another. See them in the effort to go through VFW, who's coming from the airport, and you see soldiers who are there coming home and going back to their time places in the world. Okay. What are the requests that you have? Yes, ma'am. Let me share a prayer request. We have two families that we've brought back over the years from communism. One is Kim and Song Wei, where they are. Donna, my wife Donna, helped to get these young people to the United States and become citizens. She's gone on a mission up to the refugee camp for a lot of refugees were there from communist countries such as Cambodia. Among these was Kim and Sony, that had recently been married by a national leader in that area. Donna prayed for them, helped them get to the United States, helped them become citizens of the U.S., and they soon had three beautiful little girls, intelligent, highly intelligent girls. And the sadness about it is that about 2 weeks ago, Tony, the wife, developed an unknown physical kind of a sickness that perforated her stomach. I don't know all the details, but they would know from the test. Sheree and I ministered in that funeral, and Donna, my wife, was there before she got this thing in front of to the United States. She helped get them to the Dallas area, and there a pastor, one of our pastors, turned them down, turned the deaf ear. He said all they want is a handout. So my wife got mad. And she's not often happy to get mad. She got mad. And we were in the process of moving to Springfield about that time. And so Donna went to Springfield, contacted people in the church near Springfield, and told the story of sending Sonny. And there was a man who was well-to-do in that church where she was in Bolivar, Missouri. And he said, I'll take care of those kids. And so she took them to Springfield. Tim finally graduated from the university there, and now he's working for the U.S. government. Sony has been a stay-at-home housewife and raised three beautiful girls. And Sony came down with this mysterious illness about 2 weeks ago that they couldn't diagnose. They wouldn't have been tested. Sheree and I ministered there and went in that funeral service for Sony. And our hearts are deeply, deeply hurt because of all that's happened to such lovely things. Would you pray for Tim and for Chancy and for Elizabeth and for Rachel? Here in the apartment, where they got a mom. Would you pray for them? There's another prayer request that has to do with Sheree. She has, for years now, had two foster daughters in her home. And they've both graduated from college. A little one is determined to be a missionary doctor. And God is helping her to achieve high marks in the grade. She graduated from high school earliest that they'd ever known in the whole world. And now she's in school to become an attorney. You know what attorney school is? Yeah, a doctor, okay. This place has its ways down to get it out. It's a place for Die and for Gracie to be living from. He's over there doing the best they can. They're good, you know, up here. And knocking on doors of our church is really fun. Yeah. Any other requests? Some of you lay hands on me if you want to leave him after we do the reverend. Lord God, we look to you knowing that you are the one who sustains us, that you're the one who ministers to all of these needs, sickness and sorrow, heartache that comes upon humankind. Breathe by your Spirit upon them, Lord God Almighty. By your stripes we are healed, and we want to see that applied now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Thank you, Lord. Praise be unto your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Christ. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Praise be to the Lamb. Praise be to God. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God in the evening, so eat your heart in June. Join me in singing that song, God answers prayer.